Welcome back. Tell me, in what ways were Israel to be different from the polytheistic nations around them? Well, there were three aspects. Their worship style, their personal appearance, and their healthful habits. In this lecture, we'll be looking at just two of them. And that is the relationship between food and worship. You know, the Bible packs everything together in a marvelous way. And if you obey, you're happy. By the way, obedience to me is celebrating God's salvation. This is the only way I can celebrate His salvation, by a life of obedience. Why were monotheistic Israel to eat differently from those who worshipped otherwise? And why were monotheistic Israel to eat different and worship the Creator on the Sabbath? We're going to look to the Sabbath and food. Now, polytheistic cultures worshipped Shamash, or whatever god, on any other day of the week. There was no specific day on which they worshipped the gods. What prevented some of the ancient Israelites from entering the promised land? And you know, this is serious study, because what's going to prevent me and you to enter the promised land? During this series, we're going to look at these things. We cannot afford to miss heaven, my friend. No, we cannot afford that. How many miracles have they experienced since leaving Israel? From Egypt, on their way. You'll be surprised. Every day was a miracle. And in your life and mine too, every day is a miracle. To breathe is a miracle. To think is a miracle. We live in a miraculous world. How many times have they witnessed the miracle of the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night? At this specific stage, it was 45 times. Every day, this huge phenomenon appeared. And how many miracles have you experienced during your lifetime? It's an entire lifetime of miracles. We serve such a loving, giving God. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, Sinai, Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt, Exodus 16, verse 1. The coastal holiday has ended, as all holidays used to do, and they were back on the hard, challenging road from Egypt to the promised land, like you and I are also on this road. True or false, you tell me. They did not complain because of the way God has led them in the past. That's false. They did complain every single time. May God help us to overcome this murmuring. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. We're in a wilderness. Are we murmuring? It's so dangerous to do it. They forgot how God led them in the past and also in the present. Please trust God just a little more. And the children of Israel said to them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." This is dangerous. You see, if you start murmuring, you start speaking nonsense eventually. They forgot how God led them in the past and also in the present. When we sat by the flesh pots, they had a braai, I think, every evening. And when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger, anticipating hunger. They forgot how God led them in the past and also in the present. Loretta, my child, please tell me, did God supply all the needs in this vast desert behind you? And what about yours, my child? And my friend, what about yours? He did supply. So why do we worry about tomorrow? Listen to what God said to Moses. Then said the Lord to Moses, "Behold, I will destroy them." It would have been fair if he did it, but he didn't do it. "Behold, I will not destroy them. I will rain bread from heaven for you." What a gift from his throne room. "And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or not." Exodus 16, verse 4. Bread from heaven for 2 million people, and there's no mega bakery around. They're far away from Thebes or any great ancient city in the desert. Humanly speaking, my friend, this was impossible. And sometimes it looks to us as if outcome out of our crises are impossibilities. We have to learn to trust God. My granddaughter sings, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong." I love to ask her to sing songs. You know, we serve a loving and a mighty God, a very strong one, and a good provider. And by the way, he loves us irrespective of our past or present. Why bread from heaven for 2 million people? Why is it possible? "That I may prove him." That I may prove them. You know, God gives us gifts to prove us. He wants a reaction of loving obedience. That the rain of manna was designed by God as a means of education is apparent from these words. What was wrong with the Egyptian way of eating? What is wrong with the modern way of eating? The miraculous provision of food was to train the people to respect and obey his holy law. The greatest gift, one of the greatest gifts to us, is law. Do you live in a lawless society? You know, God wants us to be happy. Here's the 10 golden rules. Now, what is the relationship between food and religion? Does it matter what we eat or the lifestyle we follow? Any specifications on gathering the manna? Let's look at the calendar. "And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather." This is interesting. Now, of what do the words "sixth day" remind you of? Where do we read about the sixth day for the first time in the Bible? "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was superfluous." Very, very, very good. He didn't say it before, and now he says it on the sixth day. "So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. He looked at us, our first parents, and he said, "It's very good." This was on Friday. "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished." What a creator, creating a cosmos and people like you and me. And on the seventh day, after the sixth day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Rest? This is the rest of a relationship. God is interested in a relationship with you and me. Just to think, the great creator wants to be friends with you and me. Not everybody wants to be friends with me, or you perhaps. What did the creator say when he looked at his completed creation work? Very, very good. He created a monument made of time. Time. To commemorate his creative work. You know, you can destroy substances, but you cannot destroy time. So he took time to build the beautiful monument of the Sabbath. It's indestructible. It looked extremely good. It became the crown piece of his creative power in the vast universe, a monument created from time. After the 6 days of creation, what did the universe still lack? Menuha. Came the Sabbath, came Menuha, and the universe was complete. This was written by Abram Herschel. What does Menuha mean? You get the answer in Psalms 23, verse 2 and 3. He leads me beside still waters. Can you hear it? He restores my soul. This is the engineering in the creation of this gift, the Sabbath, made from the substance called time. Menuha. Beside still waters. We need that peace every week to rejuvenate us. He restores my soul. Same thing. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This was foreign to the polytheistic society of the day. Rested. Peaceful, relaxing, and rejuvenating as we rest in the presence of our Creator. My friend, on a Sabbath, he wants to relate to you. He wants to listen from you, and he wants to bless you. What a gift to humanity. Why did twice as much manna fell on the sixth day? And why were they required to gather twice as much on this day? Did they know which day of the week was the Sabbath? Yes. Initially, the Sabbath was given to sinless people. After they sinned, the Sabbath became a reminder that God saves fallen sinners. So the Sabbath brings a beautiful message to you and me. A message which says you are saved by grace. I need to be saved by grace because my works are so like filthy rags. What did the Lord say in Exodus 16 verse 4? "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test. I like this word. He wants to test me. He's interested in me. Test them. Whether they will walk in my law or not. The Sabbath was the test to obedience of all 10. the commandments. What injunction is given regarding the sixth day? This is very important. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. Rest, it brings peace. You know, just think of rest. A holy Sabbath to the Lord. 16 verse 23. Bake what you will bake today. Why? And boil what you will boil. And lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until the morning. So he wanted them to prepare the food on a Friday to enjoy the Sabbath. But you know, not only preparing food for the Sabbath, God wanted them to prepare for the rest that's coming. And on a Friday, God wants us to look forward to the rest he wants to give us as the sun sets on a Friday afternoon. He wants us to be free from burdens. Only the seventh day is called holy. The other days are just called first, second, third. They are numerical. But the last day of the week is called a Sabbath. And 182 languages in the world calls Saturday, the seventh day, the Sabbath, the rest day. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. First evidence that God had heard and considered their complaints. They complained about food. Food, food, food. You know, we love to eat. I don't know what life would be without eating. I won't be able to live on pills. I want to chew and smell it and taste it. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. This is a very peculiar, interesting verse of scripture. But what are we, says Moses and Aaron, that you complain against us? They were complaining before God. Also Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. What a Savior. What a God that just gives and gives and gives. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Flesh and bread, what they now have to the full. God would demonstrate to them that he could supply in the desert what Egypt possessed and much more. Maybe they thought God would not be able to supply meat, but he was going to surprise them. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, I love this, come near before the Lord. I can hear Jesus speaking here. Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. He listens to our complaints. Then he calls us, my friend, to come close to him. He wants to cure us from a critical, murmuring spirit. Come near to me. So if you have a struggle with us, he's inviting you to come near to him. What a revelation of a God of love. He says to the rebels, come near to me. He says it to you and me. He's still calling rebels like you and me to come near to him and be reconciled to him. He wants to give us the best he's got. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, that vast wilderness. And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. What kind of glory could this be? God's glory is His lovely character. He revealed it to them in the desert. A splendor such as they have never witnessed symbolized the divine presence. You know, I'm looking forward to see God's glory when I'm going to look into His face and read love and acceptance and care and salvation. Great things are awaiting us in heaven. Have you seen something like this before? What a God. He condescends to our level and He wants to uplift us to His. They must be taught that the Most High and not merely the man Moses was their leader, that they might fear His name and obey His voice. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. They are about to witness the greatest miracle, gastronomic miracle in history. It was only on rare occasions that the Lord provided flesh for the Israelites, but two are recorded. This one, and we're going to look at the other one later on, are recorded. The one here in the wilderness of Sin, and the other one at Kibrot Hatta'ava in the wilderness of Paran. Israel was not in actual need of flesh food. The great chef of heaven knew what he wanted to give his people. Since the corn of heaven, as Psalms call it, was adequate to supply all their needs, all the vitamins, everything was in that manner. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. 2 million people saw this miracle. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. It was like dew, bread from heaven. Oh, I wish I could see this. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, is it manna? For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Bread from heaven. What was this? Moses said, this is the kind of God that you serve, the kind of God you can trust. Let's do a little archaeology. It appears as manna in the Palestinian Amana letters written in the 14th century to Tutankhamun, Akhenaten. They were monotheists. We may therefore conclude that this short phrase is properly translated, what is this? So manna means, what is this? What is it? Manna. The exclamation reveals the surprise of the Hebrews when they discovered this unfamiliar substance. While looking at the inscriptions on the Amana tablet, I thought of the accuracy of God's word. Expressions like manna are only found in documents from the middle of the second millennium BC. This is the time of the 18th dynasty in which Moses lived and the Israelites came out of Egypt. You only find it there. It would not have been used by a writer in the first millennium, for he would have been unaware of their existence at the time of the Exodus. The story of the Exodus was written by a contemporary of that great event, one who was acquainted with the phraseology of his own time and who knew how to use it. I love the Bible and archaeology, which confirms the authenticity of the scriptures. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it, every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. 16:16. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. Can you see them gathering the food? They were hungry. And here God sends them food from heaven. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. It contained everything the body needed. There were no sick people while they ate manna. We're going to eat it in heaven again. Maybe the underweights, like me, picked up weight, and maybe the overweight, like you or you, lost some weight because the nourishment of the manna was perfect. The manna falling from heaven for the sustenance of Israel, listen to this, was a type of him who came from God to give life to the world. Christ was in a pillar of cloud by day and night. He was in a manna. He was trying to tell them who he really is. A loving God. The polytheistic gods were cruel. It was a miserable religion. And here he comes and reveals to them the most beautiful gospel. I am the bread of life, said Jesus, who came down and fell among us as manna. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, a comparison, and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. If you want to have eternal life, Jesus says, eat me, accept me, and you will never die. My friend, what an invitation. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Have you accepted this manna, Jesus Christ? If you have accepted him, you have eternal life. What a gift. And among the promises of blessing to God's people in the future life, it is written, to him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Imagine eating from the tree of life in heaven one of these days. And the hidden manna is going to say to us, listen, taste what the Israelites tasted in 40 years. How did ancient Israel react to the manna issue? You know, sometimes we are so ungrateful. Notwithstanding, they listened not to Moses. You celebrate salvation by obedience. Notwithstanding, they listened not to Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. And it bred worms. Disobedience breeds worms. and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. Communion with Christ, my friend, should be the first thing in the morning. You cannot live on old manna. He wants to refresh you every day with his presence. If I neglect this exercise, the heavenly manna loses its flavor. What did God do to prevent them from becoming lazy? And they gathered it every morning, not at noon, every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. You had to eat it before the sun melted the food. They must gather every day in order to have anything to eat. Furthermore, they must rise early. Those who slept late missed the breakfast, since manna melted when the sun waxed hot. Although there were no fields to plow or harvests to bring in, the fact that they must rise early to gather their food shows that God planned every detail of this phenomenon for the people's benefit and training. What are the benefits of early to bed and early to rise? The best part of the night's rest is before midnight, so that you can rise early and enjoy a sunrise. There's something about the morning which we cannot miss. Please go to bed early and rise early. You'll have more energy as well. Poverty and want are the reward of those who sleep late, says the wise man Solomon. Poverty and want are the rewards of those who sleep late. Get up early. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Man, I see them in the morning. I see them at noon, I see them at evening. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider his ways, and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler. When last did you watch the ants? There are lessons in nature which we should learn. Provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. A miracle appeared to show them which day is the Sabbath. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seeth that which will seeth, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Why did God expect them to make these preparations? And does he expect us to make these preparations? If you do it, you'll enjoy the Sabbath much better. If you've never kept the Sabbath, just try it. Prepare on a Friday for Sabbath, and you'll receive a double blessing. Every week during their long sojourn in the wilderness, the Israelites witnessed a threefold miracle designed to impress their minds with the sacredness of the Sabbath. One, a double quantity of manna fell on the sixth day. Double quantity. None fell on the seventh. Second miracle. Third miracle, the Sabbath portion was preserved. Not so during the rest of the week. Rest of the week they became rotten, fraught. Could eat it. But on a Sabbath, it was there. God will never disappoint you on a Sabbath. You'll have a double portion and it will smell excellent. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Wonderful. She puts a Sabbath portion away, this Israelite lady. Would worms spoil it? She wondered. And cause a bad odor? Moses says it wouldn't happen, but I'm not sure. I'm going to experiment here. Every Sabbath morning she serves her family with food from heaven. It was fresh on a Sabbath as it was, just as if it was harvested on the Friday. What a miracle to show people the beautiful soteriological components of the Sabbath. It's a day of celebration because God saves sinners like you and me. He wants us to celebrate this every Sabbath. How long did the weekly procedure taught the people to make Friday a day of preparation for the Sabbath and to make it a day of truly rest? 40 years. Count the weeks. Thousands. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. It destroys legalism. It's a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. What a thought. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day together, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? The test of total obedience was the Sabbath. In Eden it was a tree. After that, the Sabbath became the test of my loyalty to God. A test of the fact that I accept salvation by grace alone. See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread for 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. What important lesson can we learn from God's loving patience? Instead of always punishing Israel for their repeated murmurings and acts of disobedience, God condescends to reason with them, explaining the purpose of his requirements. What a considerate God. The Sabbath was a holy day of rest, a divine gift with which they were not to tamper. Hence the double portion of food the day before. Why were the Israelites instructed to remain in the camp on Sabbath and not go out to gather manna for any other purpose? Their time, my dear friend, was to be spent in rest at the home with the family. Your family is precious. God wants you to enjoy your family on this holy day, spending time with them and also meditating heavenly themes. Sabbath keeping prevents nervous breakdowns and marriages. You've got to spend time with your family, and the Sabbath is the best day to do it. It was a time when families could find each other again after a week of work and other activities. You know, we lose one another so easily. The Sabbath wants the family to bond again. The Sabbath is like a divine symphonic orchestra performing the creation melody. The theater is the cosmos. The melody is dedicated to the loving, saving Creator. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. It's like dessert, pudding. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt." Placed in the ark. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations." I like this. Next to the holy law was the health message. The food was there. Extra biblical explanations on the pot of manna. The word translated pot, I've checked this out, is from an Egyptian word meaning a rather large jar. So it was filled with a lot of manna. Does the Bible tell us what kind of metal was used to produce this pot wherein the manna was placed? And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. The health message was placed next to God's Ten Commandments. I'm so glad that Jesus is next to his commandments. And Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Possibly the ark being discovered one day. What do you think? You know, this would be the greatest archaeological discovery of all time. Are we going to see God's holy law sometime in the future? Are we going to see Aaron's staff full of blossoms? God's gifts are incentives to obedience. God's gifts are incentives to obedience. God's law promises an abundance of good things to those who obey. Are we transgressing? We've got a problem. God offers us his forgiveness as well as his power to obey. He wants to assist us. "My son, my daughter, give me your heart." Shall we accept him? For 40 years, they were daily reminded of the miraculous provision of God's unfailing grace and tender love for 40 years. In the words of the psalmist, God gave them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. That is, food provided for them by the angels. What a considerate God. They were taught that they were as secure from want as if surrounded by fields of waving grain on the fertile plains of Canaan. God gave the Sabbath and the health message at the same time. He's interested in our bodily welfare. We are not owners of this body. It's his, and he wants us to enjoy good health for many years. Let us delight ourselves in the menuah of the Sabbath and feed on the healthy manna that God provides us. Next time, we are traveling to a place called Rephidim, modern Wadi Fainan. Father in heaven, your word is so precious. And you are such a marvelous God, a giving God. May we celebrate your goodness by our obedience. In Jesus' name, Amen. Thank you.